Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Is it the end of the year yet, or we're just starting?
Right? I think we're just starting. We've got a whole new slate of stuff here.
I haven't really paid attention to our intro for a while. I was just listening to it, and other than having all the buzzwords put into there just to get people's attention, we talk about life's challenges.
And yeah,
man, I'm telling you, last show was very eye-opening for me. I don't know, as I get older, maybe the reality of my having to deal with my parents and see eight people aging around me.
Oh yeah.
Also, we've had a couple of serious losses. We've had, as far as some of the key musicians.
David
and
Bowie at 69
David Bowie didn't hit me as much as Glenn Frey.
I didn't know Glenn Frey died. When did Glenn Frey die?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry to break the news.
When did that happen? Yeah. The Eagles, Glenn Frey?
It was a couple of days ago.
I've always said this, and this is just one of those little wives' tales, but celebrities, when they die, seem to die in threes. In other words, you see one, two, three of them, suddenly go.
He was the fourth.
The fourth, okay.
We had Celine Dion's husband.
Yeah.
We had
David Bowie.
We had who else did we have?
We had Glenn Frey, and then
there was somebody else before David Bowie. Yeah, but that's, and we can't remember. See how we already forgot him.
I don't know why, but one celebrity dies, and then suddenly within a week or so, you see a couple others die.
Yeah, but now I was so glad. A couple of years ago, my wife actually got me tickets for the it was my 39th birthday. 49th birthday.
Your 39th celebration of your 39th birthday. Right?
Sometimers is also
yeah,
starting.
Yeah, Sometimers.
Right? Yeah, it was 49th birthday, and it was the reopening of the Forum in L.A., and I got to go see the Eagles at the Forum in L.A.
I saw
mortality of everything.
70s, yeah.
But no, my point was is that, in the intro we talk about life's challenges, and I'm like, yeah, life's challenges, do I have toll money, for my car, when I'm crossing the toll road or whatever, right? We had caregiving last week. We had caregiving, and we talked about long-term care insurance, and how about 70% or 80% of people that are above the age of 65 are going to need long-term care.
Shocking.
And, we talk about, it's caregiving, we'll just deal with it when we deal with it, kind of thing. You can't do that. I'm starting to realize it's really something that you really need to get on real early.
Because if you want to get long-term health care, you have to qualify for it. And if you wait until you need it,
you don't qualify. Yeah. Right, exactly. Or the rates are so astronomical that. So anyway,
I thought what was funny, and maybe I shouldn't say this off on the air, but off the air we were talking to your guest, and we're about the same age. And he went through the terrible loss of his parents and who lived in Sun City, just like my parents lived in Sun City, the story I tell a million times. And on his story, it was even more tragic because his dad was super successful in the film business, and I think he was music licensing.
Yeah, Dan Siegel, gentleman's name was Dan Siegel.
Worked for a company that did The English Patient and all these other famous movies.
Mm-hmm.
And made a ton of money, moved out to Sun City, healthy, vegetarian, going to live forever, and gets a very rare form of combination of Alzheimer's and something else that he gave a name to it, but it was basically Alzheimer's and some sort of other dissipating disease here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all the money in the world, all the planning in the world. He said Deb was a big planner, had it all figured out. And he was the one that was going to take care of the wife and everybody for life.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he gets this thing done. Game over. Blow through all the fortune.
Dan moves down from the Bay Area where
Rex
he was
havoc on the family. All the planning in the world.
All the planning in the world, right? So get early, get on this thing early, and get informed. And
because lucky us, we're going to live another 30 years, and what's going to happen in those 30 years we're not ready for.
Well, financially is the beginning of your problems, right? Because emotionally, the medical, all that aspect of it. So anyway, it brings us to today's show, which is basically a repeat. And I had a blast when I put this thing out today. It's like backed by popular demand. Okay,
yeah.
We have two ladies from Caregivers Direct that were actually last time we had them. They were by phone.
Uh-huh.
Today we have them in the studio. Say,
hello.
Hello. I'm already impressed.
We're so happy to be here.
You know, welcome to Orange County.
Thank you.
Came down from LA. And it wasn't that scary driving down here.
Are you from Indiana or some other place?
I am. I drove from Indiana this
morning. You drove all this morning and all the way.
Bad joke. No, Reva drove us down from LA, so she was our driver.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, That's more impressive than my father saying I shoveled snow in Kuwait basically to go to school, right? I mean, remind me to show you talking about older folks and, you know, kind of different perspective. Everybody, I don't know if everybody in this room, but I know I grew up where, you know, every time you try to do something and you sounded like you were lazy about what, give me a ride to school or whatever, and you'd get the, well, when I was your age, I did tough stuff.
You know,
uphill both ways, right?
Right.
In the snow.
So I found a really funny thing that on social media the other day where it showed like the highest ridge of the Himalayas, okay? And there was this sole hiker like on the highest ridge of the Himalayas with nothing. Did you see this?
No.
Where it said, my parent on their way to school.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's the truth.
So, you know, lessons do get passed down, you know, and bad jokes too, I think, right?
And now I say to my daughter, and I look at her and I say, oh my God, you have no idea what it was like growing up when I grew up. And I think, wait a minute, it wasn't that tough.
When I had to chase the bands and go to concerts.
Yeah, right. I don't worry about what I was going to do with my life.
So these ladies, Katie and Reva, are in from Caregivers Direct in the studio, and last time you guys were here, or not here, last time we talked about what made Caregivers different from other agencies, and that it wasn't really a caregiving agency, it was more of a clearinghouse qualifier.
As I recall, it's kind of like Angie's List for caregivers.
Yeah, so I think like how we came up with that. So if you wouldn't mind, either one of you, take a minute and just reintroduce Caregivers Direct to the listeners, and then we'll basically address some other questions.
Sure. So Caregivers Direct really allows families to choose their own caregiver and connect with and hire that person directly. We know that personal choice is so important when you're hiring for yourself or for a loved one, mm-hmm. and that maintaining your independence really is what people are all about when they're aging in place and aging in their home. So by having a network of pre-screened caregivers,
right.
that have been, you know, had a preliminary background screen run,
right.
that we've had an interview and a touch point with every single caregiver in our network, that we verified credentials, verified references, and only accepted, you know, less than 10% of all caregivers that apply,
right.
knowing that anybody in our network is somebody we might feel comfortable bringing into our own homes.
Or for your own mother.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the key. My dad used to say when he would really get mad at some doctor, my mother's going through Parkinson's and all these terrible things, and they started treating her just like she was a bug in the room. You know, she wouldn't even talk to her. They'd say, well, she needs this, and she does this, and he's like, she is sitting right over there. Why don't you talk to her about
right.
this? But they start treating you like you're just a number in an assembly line. He would stop and he'd say, what would you do? Because the doctor started pushing her. Well, that's all I can come up with, blah, blah, blah. And he'd say, what if this was your wife? What if this was your mother? And
well,
try and personalize.
Well,
it.
And it's not a one-size-fits-all. I mean,
yeah.
It's not even just in terms of personality. Certain people have different faiths. Different eating
right.
habits, things
different
of that
cultural
nature.
Cultural habits,
so you
right.
just, you know, I sometimes I'm kind of a little shocked how there's sort of a, you know, we're just gonna take that same caregiver and we're gonna apply them in every single situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
it just doesn't work. And an agency that tries to do that, I think, it tells you a million things by showing you that that's how they go about it, because it takes away the dignity, it takes away the personality. You know, factor, and it's just an assembly line.
Yes.
Now you're just basically, you know, well, I'll change you, I'll feed you, you
Next.
Know, da, da, that's it. No companionship component.
And the point
at all
that you brought up and that she alluded to was, this is the most personal of decisions. You're going to bring somebody in for yourself or for your most cherished loved ones here, and they are going to do the most intimate, if that's the right word. They're going to bathe them. They're going to help them go to the toilet. They're going to do all sorts of things. This isn't a gardener you're hiring. This isn't a handyman.
Right. And the way that we allow families to connect with caregivers ahead of time allows mm-hmm. the caregivers to, you know, accept positions that really feel right to them, that play to their strengths, that emphasize services that they've performed before that they're confident in, because they're able to, again, you know, assess and know upfront the services that will be required for them as well, too. So it's kind of a two-way street of setting up the caregivers for as much
right.
success as the families.
Well, you know, it's almost a cliche at this point, but it used to be that when you went in for an interview, right, for even a job, it was the company interviewing you. And then somewhere along the way, it became where you basically do your own background information.
You're interviewing the company too.
And if you actually,
what are you going to do for me? Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting, right? Because the attitude has changed. And I think it sounds like this is. So why don't you take a minute and talk to the process. To what you used to qualify.
Sure. So our, you know, we have a base level of qualifications for all of our caregivers. Every single person in our network has at least 2 years caregiving experience.
Okay.
So we're really looking for professional caregivers. You know, we're not looking for somebody who maybe just popped in to, you know, try this as a new career path. We're looking for people who are passionate about in-home care, who have been doing it for a long time and who are good at what they do. You know, as part of our application, we do, as Reva said, we interview everybody on our site. So, you know, we're a small family-run company, and Reva and I talk to these caregivers. We've connected with them, and we know, you know, it's pretty easy for us to determine whether or not they feel like a good fit. You know, we look for passion, for commitment to in-home care. And then from there, you know, we're verifying their credentials. We run a background check. We personally speak to their references, so we call every reference that they give us.
Wow.
We get the feedback directly from the horse's mouth, and then we also post that feedback on their profile. So you, as someone looking for a caregiver, can read that feedback. You're welcome to connect with references as well. But, you know, to Reva's point, we really want to do all that we can to make sure that both sides are set up for success and that we have the best group of caregivers possible.
And can the community comment, like on Angie's List, and say, I hired this person and they were great?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's awesome.
And directly from each caregiver's profile, there's an opportunity to leave a review, an opportunity to read reviews, and also an opportunity to read a number of different paragraphs that give a sense of each caregiver's personality, so that as a family is connecting, they can see what a caregiver's interests are outside of caregiving, which again speaks to culture and other...
And let me just interject this, having gone through with my mother, and now I'm doing the same thing with my 91-year-old aunt who lives alone out in the desert. What's the alternative? The alternative is, I can tell you the alternative. The alternative is, you think that kid down the street will go run some errands and can come in and help my aunt do this and stuff? You think the, she lives in an apartment complex, you think the lady that comes around and cleans the pool might also come in and clean her sinks for her?
Check in, yeah.
And check in on her and make sure she's okay. Yeah. And we come up with this ad hoc group of either teenagers in the neighborhood or other service workers in the neighborhood or friends, family, neighbor, and you're just putting this hodgepodge group together, not based on qualifications at all, just based on availability and price.
But I also want to ask you guys, because you talk about people that are like professionals, that actually this is a commitment that they have made, this is a path that they have chosen to, career, if you will, right? And there are situations where it is a family member that acts as that caregiver, right? Now, I'm not sure, but in the case of insurance or in the case where somebody has some financial means to pay for that caregiving, if a family member is basically performing that function, is that family member, does that family member technically could be paid for that role? Because the reason I ask is because sometimes that happens, I've heard, and yet maybe that is not the best person who's providing that service, but it is an opportunity, seen as an opportunity to basically keep it in the family, but then somehow
keep
still
the money
paid
in the
for.
Family here. We'll get my daughter's unemployed, so we'll go get her to do it for a while.
Well, I heard a lot of that during the recession. You know, where it's like, well, you know, I'll just do this, and then insurance will be paying for a certain number of hours. The reason I bring it up is because there are so many different scenarios, right? And what I like about, you know, and I mentioned this before we went on the air, is I think we have an opportunity today to talk about all these different scenarios. This is not an agency per se. You guys are not an agency that is selling numbers of hours of care.
Right.
You're clearinghouse, Angie's List of, you know, and pre-qualifying. And then the one thing I'd like to have you guys talk about is, like, where do you guys ever, once you've established that connection between the end user and the caregiver that's pre-qualified, are you guys are still on board and in part of the process,
or that's
do you step out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're, you know, basically as involved as the family wants us to be. So we do follow up when we know a hire has happened, check in, make sure that both sides are still happy. But, you know, the one of the benefits of being with Caregivers Direct is because you're paying the caregiver directly, whatever their hourly rate is, and the caregivers set their own hourly rates. But then you also have a membership with us. So if you need additional support, one of the most common reasons why people reach out are, you know, a caregiver is sick, needs to take some time off, going on vacation, so they need a temporary replacement, someone to come in for a weekend or a week here or there. So we can, you know, help throughout the process. You know, for a lot of people, we find that it's not just
you hire one caregiver and you're set for the next year or the next couple of years. So many people that we work with end up needing more than one caregiver, you know, whether it's for, you know, just scheduling reasons.
Their needs change.
Absolutely.
Their condition
different gets services
worsened.
Maybe
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
One person would
well,
be
a
therapist.
And you know, we keep talking about caregivers like they're this third entity that's not really in the room, right?
No, it's so important.
Right. But caregivers themselves burn out.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so the fact that somebody may need another caregiver right. for a duration of a week
ask
or
that.
Something.
Maybe this is a question that I shouldn't really bring up, but I have a habit of doing that. Is this an industry with a lot of turnover? Because it would seem like it would be. One, because
what's the burnout rate?
One, because it's low paid, and two, because you'd get emotionally burned out.
I think that does happen a lot, and I think that, you know, one of the ways that we try to set families up for success is, you know, as part of us working with the family, what I like to do is, you know, really be honest about, you know, based on your needs, it looks like maybe you need a couple people. Maybe you want to split this workload, you know, have somebody for the weekend and somebody during the week. We want to, you know, we're very focused on, you know, caregiver well-being as well as the well-being of the family and being able to set people up for success. And so, you know, I think that especially the other thing, too, is I think that when a caregiver isn't necessarily choosing their position, when mm-hmm. they're just being sent out on an assignment, the risk of burnout gets even higher. Mm. So what's nice about the way we work is it's the caregiver's choice whether to accept a position.
Right.
They know what the hours are up front, and they can really determine whether or not it's right for them.
Well, you raise a very important point, because I think anybody doing any task, if you are self-motivated to basically be involved in that task,
yeah.
your vested interest in its success
yep.
is so much higher
yeah.
than, oh, it's just a chore.
It's just a job.
Definitely.
Or a job, right?
So. And we allow the caregivers to set their own schedules as well, too.
Yeah.
And they're able to adjust that at any time. So caregivers can, you know, really determine if there's, you know, an extra day per week that they need to, you know, take care of themselves,
right.
or if there's...
And let's get one other thing out on the table, just so, because I think it's important for everybody to understand. How do you guys get compensated? Are you an agency that you're taking half of the money from them? Like, I think that agencies take that. They charge like $20 an hour, and they pay these people like $10 an hour
or something like that. That is a model, yeah.
Or are you just working off the membership model, and you're just providing a list based on a membership or some combination thereof? How to... Talk to that, because I think that talks to then people feel comfortable
yeah.
then about they at least understand what they're getting.
Absolutely. So families pay us a membership in order to get access to the network, but we do have a few different options available, knowing that families occasionally need a little bit more personal attention or care mm-hmm. or
more than
help
the list,
through
right.
the process. So there's an opportunity for families to subscribe and get access so that they can do everything on their own. We set up all families for best practices, whether they sign up for one package or another package, that they have access to our resources for payroll and taxes, but that they also have the opportunity to connect with us on a more concierge service level
mm-hmm.
so that we can go through and really help to assess, especially if a family member is hiring for somebody out of state or away from where they live, that we can go through and help them to find matches in our database that would be effective for them, that we can take a little bit of that, you know, facilitation process of the interview to help establish, make sure that the caregivers know what's expected and
right.
and help to make that connection with one more degree of personalized
touch.
My
bread and butter is interior design. We do commercial interior design. There is a role in any construction project where you're not the contractor, you're not the owner, but you could be an owner's representative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Which is just a checks and balance mm-hmm. kind of position, right? And what's interesting, what I'm hearing here, is that, again, you guys are, the contracting with that caregiver is directly from between the end user, the person or the family who needs the care,
right.
and the caregiver.
Correct.
So, you know, we just listed a plethora of services that you guys provide, and somebody's going, well, how do you, to Paul's point, how are you
right.
getting compensated? So I know that you have at least, that I can recall from our last conversation, three levels of membership, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said it's like there's more sort of the basic level and there's a concierge level, right? Could you just give,
sure.
what do you get at those different price points?
Well, and what are the price points?
Yeah. Yeah, and before we jump into that, just to speak to the earlier point is, you know, the reason why, really the ground level reason why we founded the company was the commitment to not taking a percentage of caregivers' wages, so that your caregiver takes home every penny that they earn. You're not paying $20 an hour for a $10 an hour caregiver.
Yes.
You're getting exactly what
you pay for.
And I wanted to get that on the table.
Because
I think that's what I objected to when we looked in some of the agency things. you know, let's face it, these people aren't getting paid huge sums of money, and that they're being asked to do very tedious, personal things that are of grave importance to everybody. They might not be rocket science, but they're being asked to do things that are take care of your loved ones. And yet, we're paying the minimum wage, and in some cases, they don't even take home that.
Which can lead to the burnout.
Which can lead to the burnout, or the disinterest, or the carelessness that could lead to, you know, an allergy attack because somebody didn't, you know, pay attention to something.
Right.
You know, the interesting thing about this is that you really are empowering both sides of the equation. And giving them quote unquote independent decision making, which is kind of interesting, right?
And because control.
But if we talk about seniors and people who need care, right? And the vulnerability, and we talk about vulnerability as a population, it's a very vulnerable population. The first few things that go away is independent decision making.
Yes.
Dignity.
And control over your life. You suddenly, somebody else is making decisions, the doctor, your family members, caregivers, whatnot, and you feel like you're just, like my mother used to say, they're talking about me as if I'm a specimen. I'm not even in the room.
Right. So this actually gives both the families and maybe the person who's needing care, as well as the caregiver, a lot more engagement directly. And you get compensated based on the membership level.
Yep, absolutely.
So go ahead and talk about the levels.
Yep. Yeah, so our basic membership, and all three of our packages are annual memberships, speaking to the, you know, what we were talking about earlier, knowing that a lot of families, many families, need ongoing support, might need more than one caregiver, kind of that safety net of knowing that you're covered for the next year. So our basic membership is $299 for the year, and that gets you access to all of our caregivers, knowing that pre-screening has been done, access to our partners, help set up payroll, taxes. You can run a background check from a caregiver's profile so that you have that report. You can see the caregiver's record for yourself, know that that person has been vetted.
$299 for a year.
Oh, exactly.
I just wanted to repeat.
Just to run a background check on your own is probably $100, a couple hundred dollars.
And, you know, I think we worked out it pays for itself in, you know, if you think about the $10 an hour versus our average hourly rate is $15 an hour, I think it's
very quickly.
You know, it pays for itself within a week, you know, especially if you're hiring full-time.
Thousands of dollars of savings.
Yeah. So that's the basic level. I get the list, and I've got a group of people I can call. Somebody's talked to them, screened them, checked them out.
Yep.
What's the next level?
So then we've got a mid-range if you need a little more support. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to have a conversation with me and Reva. We can send over some recommendations based on your needs, help set up an interview with a caregiver, just kind of, you know, a little more support through the process. That's $399 for the year, and that gets you a couple of hours of concierge service, again, directly with me and Reva. And then the top package is for somebody who, you know, might not be as computer savvy, might not know what they need, they're coming to this for the first time and really need some additional support, is $599 for the year, and that includes 6 hours of the concierge service, which you can use at any point. So if you need a couple hours to get you started and then later in the year need a little more help, a little more support, you can use that at any point during the year.
Okay, so usually we give the website at the end, but since we're talking about this, I want you guys to go ahead and give out the website.
Oh,
just
sure.
Let people try, you know, like follow
us. Because they're listening to this thing, go look it up and
so
follow
it's
along.
caregiversdirect.com. And even though Reva and I are based in L.A., we are L.A. and Orange County. So we are, you know, actively present in the community in both locations. We have hundreds of caregivers available now in both locations. So our, you know, our, even though we're based in L.A., our priority is really the two areas.
Well, and you just set me up perfectly.
Oh, good. Right?
You just set me up perfectly.
It's so nice
Katie,
when that happens.
Yeah, perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay. We have somebody else in the room with
us. We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Orange County.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And a lot of listeners know this person, but I want you to go ahead and introduce her and how she ties into Caregivers Direct.
Absolutely. So in the room is Deborah Pearson.
Say hi, Deborah.
Hello.
We are so excited to have working with us specifically in Orange County, who brings a lot of experience and connections and can really...
I've known Deborah since at least 2008, and you guys did really good. Selection, I think she's the perfect person for this.
Well, when you see
badge?
Her,
she has a badge on there. What's the badge?
She has multiple badges. Multiple hats.
What's the, you know, look at this one. What's it say? It says NAIPC. What's that?
I also sit on the board with the National Aging in Place Council, Orange County chapter, and have for many years, as well as with Rod, and specialize in advocacy for the senior industry and the professional network.
And that's why I think it was important to get across, because
National Aging in Place Council.
Aging in Place Council. And I don't even think, talk about that for a second. I know we did a show on this before. I don't even know that most people, I didn't know that such a thing existed. and what do they do here?
Yeah, we had the head of the Orange County chapter, Ellen Skaggs.
Yeah, just give a little quick overview of what that is, and they can go look at the other episode for a deep dive. But what is that group, and what do they do?
This is a national organization that is affiliated with the senior industry professionals to promote aging in place with dignity and with choice in your own self-care. So it's client-based, it's self-care-based, and you are supporting a network of senior professionals that are providing those services or related services to complement and enhance the communities that are being served to ensure that everyone, one, has a choice, and two, is making that choice with sincere and complete dignity.
The basic element of it is allowing you to stay in your home as long as possible, but it also, the way the organizational structure is, or it's a networking situation with a bunch of service industry providers, that whether it's long-term care probate or, you know, anything that is sort of senior related. But, you know, we have contractors. We have, like, walk-in tub people that are members of the organization. We have people like Caregivers Direct here. And so it's
sort of
something
like an
that
overall umbrella group.
Yeah, there are chapters all over the United States. It's based out of D.C. The headquarters out of D.C. for National Aging in Place. But there are multiple chapters. Orange County has been around for a while. It has kind of reinvented itself in the last couple of years as far as just structuring. But
is this a nonprofit group or a for-profit group? Is it a trade group?
It's a networking organization. I mean,
nonprofit.
Yeah.
So what I think to talk
about,
it's
a great resource for information.
When did this term aging in place suddenly appear in our way of looking at this? Because up until not long ago, the idea was you put the old people away somewhere.
There's actually a day. I will look it up.
Because you used to and there's still a lot of people just want to warehouse old people and put them away in a nursing home, in a senior place, ship them off someplace, forget about them, we're done, next. And more they're realizing the cost of that. They're realizing the psychological effects of that. People go downhill, and they're just sitting in a little room somewhere, and they're realizing the effect on the society and the community and the families and all that. So even when I was reading about the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare thing, I don't know how much of that got through, but there was a lot of discussion about how do we try and keep people in their homes. It keeps them healthier, it keeps them living longer, and it costs less. Talk about all that.
Look,
that whole movement, that whole idea.
Well, and I don't want to get too far away, but in an indirect way, having a situation where you have an awareness of aging in place, or at least what I refer to it, and I have that company that focuses on aging in place, which is called Your Home for a Lifetime. If you look at your place of residence as a place that isn't the normal or actually the traditional way of thinking of housing, you buy a house. You know, you graduate, you're living at home, you go to school, you graduate, you start your own family, you buy a house, you raise kids, then you sell the house, then you basically scale down to a smaller house, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's the routine, or that's the cycle of housing needs.
Exactly.
Right? And at some point, you can't scale down anymore, so you go from that large 2,500 square foot, 3,000 square foot house to the condo, then you basically end up in some assisted living.
Right.
And then, you know, they're basically, you know, God's waiting room in Florida, and off you go, right? So what happened is, first of all, people were healthier longer. Physicality, certain physical things were becoming more restrictive as you get older. But you were still healthy enough to not basically need that medical component. Plus, the cost of services became so astronomically ridiculous that you needed to find a way to at least offset some of the cost, and staying in a facility to get basic services like food and all this stuff, if you can actually have it in your home, that would offset a lot of cost.
Right.
But your home had to be modified because most homes are not built to allow you to stay in them for as long as
you
want.
They were built for young families, not for old people.
Step up, stairs everywhere, maximizing the footprint of the lot that I'm building on by have multiple stairs, but nobody set up two closets so you can put an elevator. You know, there are things that you can proactively, and we use this word a lot on the show, proactively set up to make sure that you have options later. But if you reactively have to respond to things when they happen, you're kind of limited. And, you know, the irony is that when the recession hit, a lot of people that had homes, now we're facing the fact that they are now at that age where, you know, the pre-programming is that I have to sell the house to move to a smaller one.
Right.
but that the market is horrible, so I'm going to take a bath on my house. I already took a bath on my 401k a couple of years ago. That's why I'm finding myself in this situation. But I am pre-programmed to basically – does that robot enough? Pre-programmed to basically just sell the house and move to a smaller one, right? Whereas – I also now have a, in, like you even shared it with you, I mean, mm-hmm. you shared it about your daughter, right? All of a sudden, somebody's kid is back home and possibly
kids.
With their child, and now all of a sudden it's a multi-generational household and a sandwich, sandwich household and boomerang
kids. And I got to take care of mom and dad or somebody, and
right.
all of a sudden.
So if you, and in many cases too, the irony is in many cases that right after the kids went to college, you probably said, hey, I can finally get that kitchen remodeled. Hey, I can finally get that master bathroom remodeled. And what you did when you did that is you didn't build anything into it that would allow that kitchen and master bath to actually function for multiple mm-hmm. years now, because you have not a roll-in but a walk-in shower. You have counters at 34 across the whole kitchen versus up and down, you know, so you didn't do that, and it wouldn't have cost you a penny more to
if
have that kind of
it.
Consultancy
right.
and thinking go into it. So the ultimate irony for me was that in the middle of all of this, and as we were coming out of the recession and real estate prices were getting better and all this stuff, everybody's thoughts were, again, hey, now all these boomers are going to sell their houses and move to smaller places. 25% of all new sales of real estate to boomers is to a larger house.
Isn't that amazing?
Not a smaller house. And the reason being, they want their grandkids to basically feel like this house that grandpa and grandma live in is a second home.
I certainly do.
So even though they don't have to, 25% of them choose to enlarge the family gathering spot, mm-hmm. right? Which is actually great, because that's intrinsic benefit to the community. I mean, we sort of lost connectivity, multiple generations connecting to one another, and maybe going through the recession, just like to a certain extent the depression, brought people closer together to where now, again, there's not a one-size-fits-all.
Yep.
You can't just say everybody's going to sell their house and move to a smaller mm-hmm. place.
This morning we had Maria Elena Banks, the past president of OCAR, Orange County
yeah.
Association of Realtors, in. And she brought up another point that I never thought of. You know, we've talked about this a lot on this show and other shows, that Orange County in particular is a graying county. We're not just staying in place, we're graying in mm-hmm. place. People aren't leaving for a variety of reasons. They're not following that cycle and moving out to the desert or Arizona. They're staying in their homes longer, partly because they're living longer, partly because they're working longer, partly for all the reasons we talked about.
Financially, you can't. I mean, you can't retire when you thought you were going to retire.
And she brought up another point that I never thought about. You've also, and this is certainly true with me, I bought my home 20 years ago. Were I to sell it and buy a similar home, even though I could afford to do it, what does my tax rate do?
Exactly.
I'm paying the old tax rate, and now I'm paying the new tax rate. So people are staying. So, and she said they're actually talking about, or maybe they have actually legislation in place to try and do this, so that if you're of a certain age and you trade one house for another, as long as it's of equal or greater value, that you can maintain the old tax basis. You can still pay taxes as if you were paying on that 20-year-old house, not just the new house, to encourage people to move and open up inventory and to get the system. Because right now you've got the top of the market blocked. You've got all these suburban houses that should be turning over to younger people and aren't, because we're not leaving.
Well, and apply that to job market, right?
Same
you
thing.
Got companies where people are not retiring and they're supposed to, and then there's no place for young people
right.
to
yeah.
come in.
Right. So young people are suddenly having to go elsewhere to find those opportunities.
It is a very interesting what's happening, and I think it will affect every aspect of society.
We could be one large leisure world if we're not careful. We could have we have a net loss of millennials in this county because they can't get a job and they can't afford
San Clemente, perfect housing. Example. So perfect example, San Clemente. You get this whole group of people that basically talk about, well, you know, we're not going to have affordable housing and we're not going to have this thing because, you know, if you can't afford to live in San Clemente, then you shouldn't be in San Clemente.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, hold on. You do realize that you're talking about the kids that were born and raised in San Clemente that basically are now cannot live in
right.
San Clemente.
Exactly. Where are your
this
kids
is not some
leave?
Somebody coming, some carpetbagger coming from somewhere else.
Yeah.
This is the kids of the parents whose houses are there, right?
Can't afford to buy because the parents bought them when they were a fraction of the price, and now the kids would have to pay full price.
And you lose brain drain. You're losing innovative, entrepreneurial spirit to other places. So it's really funny. Anyway, we were way off mark,
I know,
mark here,
I,
right?
I wanted to follow that thread because I think it leads to what these folks are doing, and that is that we're all finding a way to stay in place longer and to provide for ourselves, and we don't want to just go off and be institutionalized.
But I can tie it together.
Oh, even better.
Here we go. I'm going to tie it together. Okay?
That's why you looked excited.
Well, I am.
Paul
accuses me of, you know, we go off on these old tangents, and then somehow it comes back around, right? Well, not as cleanly as we've done before, maybe, but I will say this. Okay, what is also interesting to me about my guest today is that we're talking about senior topics. We're talking about aging. We're talking about people needing care. You know, we haven't talked about incontinence and stuff like that, but basically it's all part of the conversation,
I
right?
Go to the bathroom. Sure, yeah.
Okay. Not to put you guys on the spot, okay? You don't have to basically disclose the actual age, but would you actually give the listeners a sense of what generational group you guys are?
They're young.
Generation X over here.
So we got young. Deborah's Generation X, and you guys are millennials.
We're millennials.
Yeah, you're millennials, right?
You're young.
Yeah, and you're an old fart over there in the corner.
Right,
but
what? What'd you say?
Exactly.
Well, baby boomer.
We love Paul. He's the token baby boomer on the show. Right?
He's the curmudgeon in the house.
But yeah, and which again, it speaks to that entrepreneurial spirit, you know. I mean, here are two ladies that are the millennial generation that are involved in something that, you know, if you couldn't afford to live in an environment where you have people that you could benefit, right? And you have a passion, obviously, for this. And we talk about this, and we kind of maybe addressed it last show, and maybe we'll touch on it near the end. But you know, suffice to say that everybody has a personal story.
Definitely.
When it comes to dealing with elderly.
Yep.
Right? There's something that triggered. A grandparent, a parent, something happened, you saw a neighbor, and you basically ended up saying, okay, you know what, I want to leave this better than I found it, do something to make this better for everybody, right?
So we're going to hear their personal stories. We got to take a break. We'll hear their personal stories when we come back.
Perfect. Okay.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
Are you looking for an in-home caregiver? Caregivers Direct is an exclusive membership network that offers access to Orange County's most experienced caregivers at half the cost of a traditional caregiving agency. Know who you're hiring before they come through your door using our comprehensive background checks and online reviews. Sign up today at caregiversdirect.com to take advantage of our limited time promotion and receive up to 20 hours of care for free.
We're back.
Okay, so I just want to read this, okay? According to the United States Census, there will be a spike in the age 60-plus population from 43 million in 2005 to almost 74 million in 2020. That's an increase of 71% over the age of 60 in the United States, okay?
Yeah.
And we tend to be sort of, we lead the curve, I think, when it comes to the world. I mean, Canada maybe just right about the same, and then Europe's a little behind, and then, you know, there's also Asia and so forth. And so this isn't even just the United States issue, right? But again, maybe this is our next innovation spot, right?
Well, I'll give you another start. Your guests were startled by the Orange County Business Council's housing report. Go look it up. We've done shows on it, a show called The City Square, and you can look it up through there, or you can just go to their website. But it's really shocking. These factors are squeezing our county. Lack of space to build, lack of inventory because baby boomers aren't leaving because they got locked. They want to, I'm not leaving because I still need a job. I'm not leaving because I like it here, and I'm not leaving because I can't afford the taxes on a new house.
Yeah.
So all these pressures doing it, and then Chinese money in particular, and others coming over here. I don't know how many people realize, but the Chinese are parking lots of money over here. I don't know if they fear that there's going to be a blow-up over there or not, but as a, they're parking whole families over here. The EB-5 program, we do an import-export yep. show, which is the millionaire visa program. If you invest $1 million or more, you yep. get visas. They've actually hit a cap. They hit this number, I think it's like 10,000 a year wow. or something, and they never thought they'd get even close to it. In yep. the last couple of years, they've hit that cap, and they're talking about expanding it because so much money, mostly from China, wants to come here.
Well,
and as part of that, they get to park their family
and then there's a lot of real estate that's sold for people that are coming from that part of the world for education.
Yes.
You know, like where families...
With a visa, they get access to our right. whole schools and everything else here. We do another show here called Brain Power, and it's about how do you... It's really a college counseling show, and they've had a number of come in here where Chinese kids in particular are coming here in droves, and the parents are saying, we're going to send you off to another place, no relatives, nobody there. You're going to get parked in a home because we think you're going to get a better education there. And then these kids don't want to leave after they've gotten a high school or college education, so they want to become America. You know,
right?
It's this all these factors coming together here that they're pushing this.
And you said something where we as a county here are actually experiencing a brain drain.
Yes.
Of millennials.
Absolutely.
Right?
Because they cannot afford the housing that their parents...
So I will say it again because it is one of those pet peeves for me, okay? I cannot stand the fact that we are not providing solutions for potential affordable housing, and that every time somebody says the word affordable housing, what is heard through some ears is squatter towns,
yeah,
you know?
Poor, rundown.
Poor squalors, right? These are the people that would benefit from affordable housing as a transitionary step in the course of their life cycle are people who are born and raised in these communities in Orange County that now have no other option but to find other affordable housing. When you do that, you lose innovation, you lose contribution to the community, you lose civic engagement because you have an aging community that is not going to show up at city council and get engaged yeah. beyond a
and
certain point.
And you lose future tax base. You
and
have a bunch of retired people who are paying taxes that were locked in 20, 30, 40 years ago. You can't sustain that. They need more services.
Well, we need to stop being very, very, you know, penny wise today and pound foolish in the future because we are going to now, you know, what is this thing we have about this exaggerated pendulum swings? We want to go all the way over here and spend all this time over here holding
That's
this
it.
Status quo and then, oh my God, we're in trouble. Now we're going to go all the way over here to compensate for it. And we have this like wild swings in decision making. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now. But going back to caregiving, there's something else that came up in the last show, and I kind of prepped you guys already for it. But there, and I think Riva, you mentioned a little bit too when you talked about taxes, and you talked about salaries and things like that, right? Most people don't realize that they are whether they're going through an agency or not, that as part of the responsibility of engaging a caregiver, this is employment.
Yeah.
There are certain federal legal aspects that go along with it, right? Could you speak to that? So just, I mean, is that? I'm assuming that's something that you guys basically
nobody
educate.
Wants to talk about that one.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk about that
you're
one.
You're just it's paying like, them under the table.
I want to get the cheapest thing I can do because I know it's going to be long term, and
right.
I got to figure out how to stretch my money. But there is an aspect that could come
right.
back to bite you.
And that's why it's so important for us to set everybody up for best practices. And knowing that we're empowering families to hire directly, we understand that there are implications that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are agencies that will cover all of those types of things and that are involved in the hiring process. And so we're very upfront with our families in terms of what's needed and what would be involved. And we've done our due diligence to set ourselves up with partners that can really help families in the most, again, cost-effective way possible, but to make sure that caregivers are getting paid appropriately, mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, if overtime wages are needing to be paid, how that's recorded, how the caregivers, you know, are...
And how about just deciding whether they have a green card or whether they are legal residents? So much of these, and I'm not just talking about Hispanics, but I know that, like, I go to lots of hospitals, and I've been all these nursing homes with my parents as they were dying,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed to be overwhelmingly Philippine.
But you know what?
And you look at these people and you say, I wonder how many of them are.
Well, I will say that all of our caregivers are legal to work in the U.S. We have a lot of caregivers from, you know, very different backgrounds, and that's one of the things that we're really proud of, is making sure that, you know, from a cultural, religious standpoint,
diversity
that you've got somebody who's
going to
fit what you're looking for.
I agree.
But everybody is legal to work in the U.S. And what was I going to say?
And that's huge, because I tell you what, an awful lot of the people I looked, my parents lived out in Sun City, and their neighbors and stuff, they were just, they knew they were hiring people illegally who would work for very low wages.
Right.
And what I was trying to point out is that there are such things as payroll taxes. There are such things as Social Security. There are things that you have to collect.
And we want to make sure people understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Because if you're coming to this for the first time, you might not
know,
fine. So we want to walk you through the process.
And somebody says, I got it covered. And then next thing you know, you got a letter in the mail that basically says you owe X number for employment taxes.
So, you know, if you pay a caregiver more than $1,900 over the course of a year, you are required to report that and, you know, take out taxes. So we want to make sure that people understand that, and if they're coming to it for the first time, you know, we can let you know as a household employer what your
Do you think most people are doing it, or is this an underground economy that we're creating as part of the? We've given you 20 other reasons that this aging population problem is not being addressed properly. Part of it is you're going to create a lot of underground wages that are off the books here.
Well, but there's also recent changes that as a certification and registration
That's
as
correct.
Far as caregivers
as of this year,
as of this year, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about that.
Talk about that. Yeah.
Sure. So if you're hiring a caregiver through an agency, as of January 1st, those caregivers are required to be certified.
Mm-hmm. January 1st, 2016, if somebody's listening to this podcast. Right?
So those agency caregivers will have a base level of certification, which I think is a really positive thing and, you know, promotes consistency and quality. And then over time, too, making sure that those requirements are, you know, clear and that, you know, caregivers are being paid for the time that they're spending, and especially if it's overtime pay.
Mm-hmm. So to get rid of this idea of hire anybody at any price, even if they're illegal, just to do this stuff because anybody can do it.
Well, and you know, we just said it about four or five times. If they're doing this for the first time, well, I would assume that most people are going to be doing it for the first time, unless they have gone through it already.
And some people, your experience up to this point may have been hiring a babysitter, and you do pay a babysitter in cash, and you're probably not taking taxes out because it's a short-term hire.
That's what I know, right?
Exactly.
Isn't it the same for a caregiver?
Right, but it's such a different type of hire, and it's, you know, entering a different stage in life and, you know, what's required now versus what was required then, and, you know, completely different situation.
Well, and with the change of regulations as recently as the beginning of this year, too. So, again, if it's not on my radar screen, if it's not something that's, you know, I'm aware of or, you know, pops up on my news notifications, oh, look, caregiving rules have changed this year, right? How am I supposed to
know?
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm dealing with somebody that is not really qualified or hasn't been vetted, then maybe they are not going to tell me.
So let me ask, in the last 10 minutes, I always like to talk about the future. Where do you think this is all going? Obviously, you guys have bet your business and your career and your money and your time, and you think this is a big area, and I think you're absolutely right. But this whole idea of an aging population that's going to need services that may or may not be able to afford these services, that hasn't really planned for them, hasn't saved for them, isn't prepared for them, families and whatnot. Where are we all? Are we all heading for some big, giant explosion here? Is it going to be some just real big meltdown 10, 20 years from now? The sort of things that provoked the Affordable Care Act, where so many people were going bankrupt and whatnot.
Well, let me rephrase it, okay? Because I think also it's somewhat something relatively new. I know you're the old curmudgeon in the corner.
I know. We're headed towards
the world the sky is falling.
We're headed for a crash, and nobody's even talking about it.
I'm going to take a slightly different approach, okay?
Give us some positive.
From your perspectives, okay, from what you have seen dealing with people, okay, and how long has the agency been around? Or the caregiver's director.
We've been in business for about a year.
Okay. So, actually, sometimes there's no substitute for fresh eyes on this, right? Okay. So, what are your feelings? I mean, and reality-based, right? Based on your experience, based on what you see is going on, what do you think?
I'll jump in, and then we'll see if Reva agrees or if she has a different thought. My overall takeaway is exactly what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, which is there's not a one size fits all.
Okay.
So whether that's, you know, I'm hiring someone full time, I'm aging in place versus not aging in place. I'm a family caregiver who, you know, where I, my family's in the Midwest, and traditionally family members would take care of loved ones.
Absolutely.
And so for someone who is a family caregiver, understanding that there is support out there for them, that even if they're not looking to hire a caregiver full-time, there is an option for respite care. There is an option to create an in-home care scenario that works well for you, mm-hmm. for your situation. Mm-hmm. I think that that's what we're moving towards. It's not going to be a one-size-fits-all. It's not we're shipping every grandma off to a warehouse.
Yeah.
It's,
well, we may not have the multi-generational family taking care of another generation thing in every single case, but there are even models being dealt with in the East Coast, mostly in Midwest, where it's a village approach.
Mm-hmm.
Where it may not be a blood relative, but it's somebody that
you've talked about that. I'd like to hear more about that, because the problem with the scenario she outlined about traditional ways, I'm from the Midwest too, and yeah, you took in grandma, somebody sucked it up and took in grandma and handled it. The problem now is that there isn't anybody at home. Everybody's working. So there wasn't just the housewife who could take in and watch grandma all day. She used to watch her kids, and then the kids grew up, so now I'm going to watch grandma. That scenario is gone. And the other problem is that this is going to go on for 30 years.
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
Well, and somebody may say, listening in, and go, what difference does it make to me? It's the person who needs the care that should be responsible to figuring it out, okay? Which in a way is kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Because in some cases, they're not capable, literally, right?
Right.
Not only financially, but just mentally to do that. So
I'm saying, are we just going to turn people into the streets, or are they going to just be broke? And what are we going to do with this?
So this discussion we're having is not limited to the person who's giving the care and the person receiving the care. It's actually the whole family or the whole support system that somebody has that should be involved in it, right? And then on top of that, there's also the emotional aspect, like just as simple as when dad, you know, basically is now incapacitated and he didn't leave any instructions. And you got three different members of the family and everybody has a different opinion, right? Of what should happen. So this, again, we started the show by saying get involved in this process as soon as you can to inform yourself so that you are empowered
start
and heaven forbid you have to deal with this. You're already a little bit further ahead than be just overwhelming emotions, overwhelming financial realities. All of a sudden, you know, you thought you were going to be vacationing in Cabo for the next 3 years, and all of a sudden, all that money goes. You know, I'm being facetious, but the point is that all of this, if you are involved and engaged proactively in it earlier, you have a better chance of having it not be such a spike disruption in your life.
Amen. That's the takeaway of this whole series of shows here. Talk about it. Plan for it. You know, you plan for your college education because it's so expensive. You plan for your career because you want to maximize something. But we don't. Retirement and what happens in that final chapter is still something we just wing along the way here. We do, as aging baby boomers, we don't want to think about it. Our kids, therefore, don't think about it. I didn't think about it with my parents. They didn't. They had some of this, they thought, planic, but they thought it was for 2, 3, 5 years. They didn't think it was for 30 years. And they started running out of money, and costs escalated, and things happened.
Well, any of us at any time could require the need for a caregiver, whether it's a temporary surgery, an outpatient surgery, or need a personal shopper. So this is why these services are so exciting to me. And at the same time, as our families are growing older, and I feel like we're growing younger, we do want to age in place in dignity in the home of our choice with the caregiver
but
of our choice.
But to your point, Deborah, is that it's And we always forget this, and then it comes up like it just did.
Yeah.
It is not only about aging.
Not at all.
Care is not only about aging.
Well,
you take care of kids. Yeah. You take care of people that get injured temporarily, people that have cancer basically recovering.
Right, absolutely.
You know, your 20-year-old has an aneurysm. Now what do you do? So, again, I think part of this lack of desire to talk about it is because we package it as part of this aging concept, which basically means I have to face my mortality if I start talking about it.
And you want to keep it far away.
And I want to put
it
far away. And I
want to
talk about la, 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 la. I don't want to talk about this, right?
Yeah.
If we actually repackage care as being something that's just as much as self-care. It's self-care. I'm educating myself because I care enough about myself to educate myself about this so that if ever I needed it, whether I got injured surfing, when, you know, I broke my leg basically and nobody was around,
or
that
just
I could basically
got old
lean
and
on.
Feeble.
I mean we had a lady, and I'm going to leave her name out of it, but we had a lady in San Clemente that got T-boned in a car crash while she was driving Uber. She happened to be in San Clemente. She's young. Happened to be in San Clemente. Doesn't have anybody around. She's literally in bed and basically needing you know, sure, to have meals or things or whatever. Mm-hmm. We fortunately had, I had established a page called What Do You Think San Clemente about a year or so ago. Somebody told her about this page. She took a risk, which again is an uncomfortable place to be in, right, and posted on this page. And as a result of that, people jumped in, about 100 people in the course of less than a day.
Wow.
And they formed a makeshift support group that then, wow, basically took care of her needs, walking her dog and you know, making sure that there's some potluck. I mean, it's like the
going
old school, the neighborhood,
you
came together to basically take care
and
of her.
And there all, goes the village.
And we're all desiring that. The communities are rebuilding community centers and community cores, and we're trying to get people together. Because over the last 50 years, what's happened is we've all pulled apart. And now more than ever, we live virtually. We've
been encouraged to pull apart. Let's go to that exercise. Yeah. Maybe not with any maliciousness.
Your
kids move
all over the country, yeah, and you're...
I'm in contact with you across social media, but am I really connected to you?
Right.
Enough to when you basically need... You know, something that is
something
a little dignity
person,
based,
yeah,
care that I'm going to basically step in, or am I just going to pick up the 800 number and call, right?
Yeah. And I'll tell you the other thing I was going to just mention, then we got to wrap up here. I hope you guys are thinking of this worldwide, because we do a show on import export. And I'll tell you, the other country that's being ripped apart by this right now, they don't like to talk about,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
either, is the Chinese. Because,
yep,
in China, there was no middle class for a long time. And now all these people to achieve that middle class are all working like we do,
and there's a limit on how many kids you can have,
and the limit on how many
so
kids you can have.
There goes,
exactly,
your infrastructure,
and the old people never live that long. So now you got a bunch of people who are suddenly living longer. They were only forced to have one child to take care of two people, which is upside down. And that one child and their spouse are now working.
And typically,
none of this is
that would be the girl. That would be the daughter. But now, because
standard,
so many,
yeah, profile,
couples are...
And in their society, because it's a Confucian society that values aging and wisdom and taking care of elders, they don't even want to face the idea that maybe we've got to outsource this. It is shameful if you can't take care of... It's expected. Mm-hmm. It's shameful if you can't take care of your elders. But by definition, I only got one kid taking care of two parents.
I mean, we kind of just touched on it in accidentally, and we do this all the time, right?
Yeah.
Happy accidents on the show, right? But if you took the word age out of care, mm-hmm, and you approached care specifically just as a human condition, mm-hmm, okay, I wonder how much more innovative we would be with it.
That's what we're, yeah, exactly trying to do with Caregivers Direct and our services.
That's a good point. How do they get in touch with you? How do they learn more? How do they find out about you?
Just go around the table, guys, yeah, because I know it's Orange County, Los Angeles, so I want both informations out.
Absolutely. So the easiest thing to do is to go to caregiversdirect.com, and you are able to connect with any member of our team at any time. And
Okay.
And
social media, other places they can find you?
Social media, yeah. Phone number, our main office is 310-601-3031. That gets you straight to me or Reva. Deborah is our
SoCal
marketing representative down in Orange County, so...
How do they reach you?
How do they reach you, Deborah?
949-463-4597, www.caredirectors.com.
And that's for those few that don't know how to get hold of Deborah already.
Because she kind of gets around, right?
Caregiversdirect.com.
Caregiversdirect.com.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And Rad, how do they reach you?
You guys, listeners can always reach us at on the Facebook page for The Rad Life, or... you can always send me an email at Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, @gmail.com. Or you can even call me on my cell, 949-212-8299. We're always looking for interesting people to talk to, and we really like to push the envelope here. Like I said, you know, take age out of caregiving. How creative can we now get? How many multi-generational, you know, how many millennials can be engaged now into it? Because,
yeah,
you know what? If you're a young server on tour and you just got injured, guess what? You're looking at many more years of actually needing assistance.
Oh, yeah.
Because you now basically are in a wheelchair for, what, 40, 50 years? And you're getting older and older, the potential every year. So, I mean, you know, when we take ourselves out of this canned way of thinking about something, you actually realize how many ramifications this thing can
and
have.
And even for younger people, I mean, so many of us are away from our families,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
you need care. Everybody needs care. It's not a, you know, it's not a senior issue.
We used to kind of joke about and laugh, but it's very true and speaks to this, is in New York City at some point, somebody actually developed a hugging party where people actually get together and hug that don't know each other. Okay, I mean, it's kind of nice that we can innovate that way, but how sad is that?
Yeah, we need to have a party.
I need to hello 800 hug, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to give everybody a hug here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks, ladies, for being here. It's been a thrill, and we'll have you guys anytime you guys want to come back. Just let me know.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.